Let us then turn in God's Word to Mark chapter 9. We will turn to Mark chapter 9, beginning reading at verse 14. And I'm going to read just a hair more through verse 32 than is written in the bulletin, because looking at this passage, it really continues to there. So Mark 9, reading from verse 14, reading through verse 32. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he had taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, where is Christ coming from in this passage? We talked about it last Lord's Day, didn't we? He's on the way down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And yet even as he comes down from the Mount, he is confronted with the sickness, with the unbelief of mankind. And where does he end up? What is he saying in those last verses we read? He is on his way to the cross. Jesus is focused very much on what he's doing. And yet at that same time, he has the heart and the desire to reach down into the muck of sin to help this child with an evil spirit. And we have to understand that. How often would we, when we have something on our mind and on our plates that's distasteful, to say the least, are we going to step aside and look around and see others who have needs and say, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to care for you." And our Savior doesn't just do this as he's walking on the road to the cross. If you'll remember with me, Jesus does this from the cross. He demonstrates his care, what he is doing on this earth for us, his care for us as his people. It covers the whole of his life. What he's doing is for you and for me as his people. And so we see this with this child. Jesus is on the way down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he shows his care for this demon-possessed, this demoniac child. In verses 14 through 22, we have to understand the weakness of the powers of this world. We have to see that here in this passage. And then in verses 23 through 29, we see that Jesus calls for faith and casts out the demon. We have to understand what Jesus is doing here. That he is showing his love, his care for his people, for those who believe on him. Notice how Jesus makes it very specific as he talks to the Father. Do you believe? All things are possible for those who can believe. So Jesus shows his care for this demoniac child. First of all, we have to see the weakness of the powers of this world. Jesus descends from the Mount of Transfiguration to deal with man's weakness. He returns from the Mount of Transfiguration up there with Elijah and Moses and with his chosen disciples. And he comes into a great crowd. Having had this heavenly experience showing his heavenly glory, he is confronted with man's unbelief, man's sin, and the effects thereof. The disciples, a multitude, and even the scribes who were always seeming to be there to fight against Jesus, approach him. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that, a mountaintop experience. We often don't want to come down and deal with this world, do we? That's what we need to do most, is to deal with the things of this world as Christians. In those times when we are lifted high, we need to be ready for this world. And the people run to him. They were amazed. They greet him. They had sought the disciples to heal this child, but the disciples were unable. They were certain that Jesus would be able, and of course he does. And so Jesus, coming down from the mountain, immediately puts himself in the middle of what's going on here. He doesn't stand by the side, out of earshot, out of eyeshot, and watch what they do. He says, what's going on? God is at the center of everything that we do. He ought not be off to the side. When we have problems, the first place we ought to be is on our knees in prayer. And notice Jesus asks the question to the scribes. Even those who would normally be a problem for him, Jesus directly asks them. He gives them an opportunity to see what he's going to do here. And so the description is, not from the scribes, but from the father of the child. Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. By the way, elsewhere we have the same set of events, and the child is called an epileptic. Now what's going on there? Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Sounds like a fairly good description of things that can happen with epilepsy. We have to understand that everything that goes on in this world has a spiritual dimension to it. We have lived in such a materialistic perspective of the world that we forget that. And we need to understand, not that we spend our time all worrying about that, but especially at the time of Christ, the demons were throwing everything they possibly could at Jesus. And failed, of course, miserably. We have to understand something. We live as we discuss Christianity, as we defend Christianity, there will be those who say, well, your God is the God of the gaps. It's only the things we don't understand. So back then, that would have been called demon possession. Now we know what the lesions in the brain and everything, all of these things have a spiritual dimension. We need to understand that. And we need to be spending our time in prayer to God concerning those who are ill. Prayer is because we have made everything just materialistic from our perspective. Prayer has been set upon the side. And what does Jesus say at the end of this? This kind can only come out by prayer and by fasting, by the exercise of the things of the Spirit. And we need as Christians to exercise the things of the Spirit. And so, he had initially sought Jesus. The disciples had thrown their hats into the ring and they had failed. Remember that they had previously been given power over these spirits from Christ, but now they were unable. Mark 6, verse 7, a couple of chapters back, when he called the 12 to himself, he began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. But they couldn't. And why? Jesus answers their question there at the end, and he says, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. The disciples had not disciplined themselves in prayer and fasting enough. And Jesus mourns the faithlessness of people. Verse 19. Jesus proclaims three things. He says, O faithless generation! Second, how long shall I be with you? And third, bring him to me. O faithless generation! Faith is exhibited by our actions. James says, James 2:18, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What is Jesus' response? This kind can only come out by prayer, by nothing but prayer and fasting. God uses our actions. So often in modern Christianity, people say, I just believe. I don't have any exercise of spiritual discipline. I just believe. Brothers and sisters, spiritual discipline is a necessary part of the Christian life. Devotion, study of God's Word, prayer, fasting. Jesus doesn't say, well, fasting, that's an Old Testament thing. Don't worry about that. And prayer, we got the largest book of the Bible. His prayers, Psalms. We need to be praying. We need to be disciplining ourselves as Christians. God uses our prayers, our fastings. Jesus says, how long shall I be with you? Jesus is frustrated by the unbelief of his disciples. He's frustrated by the unbelief of the people. Of course, the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent out at this point. But Jesus says to them, John 14, 19, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say to me, show me the Father? And again, even after the resurrection, John 20, 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my sides. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. We need to be exercising our belief. The Presbyterians use the phrase improving our baptism, working on improving what we believe. And he focuses us at the end on the fact that his time here on this earth is short. He says, how long will I be with you? He reminds us of that in verses 30 through 32. And he says, bring him to me. The third thing. The disciples couldn't get the job done. But Jesus, of course, could. The inability of the disciples has demonstrated the ability of our God is demonstrated as well. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand how weak our faith is, how weak the powers of the spirits are, all in comparison to the power of our Savior. We must be driven to our knees. We must be driven to understand the power of our God. And we see that power of the Spirit here in verses 20 through 22. The Spirit convulses him in front of Jesus. Evil spirits are stretching their muscles when Jesus is on this earth. They throw everything that they have against him and they fail. This spirit exhibits his power, throwing him onto the ground in front of Christ. And Jesus says, "How long has this been happening?" Of course, Jesus knows this. But he asks for the purpose of the crowd that they might know. This is not a phony miracle. This has been happening all of this child's life. And we don't always get immediate answers from God, do we? God provides in his good time. He even says no. And that doesn't mean he doesn't care for us as his people. This spirit is trying to destroy this child. He has often thrown him into fire and into the water. Sin's effects are there to destroy us. One of those effects is sickness within this world. And we need to understand who ruled over sickness while he was on this world and who rules over sickness eternally. We need to know that God is in control. God cares for his people even through these things. And the man looks to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus calls for faith. He says, "All things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, just as we can say to anyone, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," Jesus says to this man, "All things are possible to him who believes." Of course, Jesus again knows whether or not he can believe. The crowd does not. How weak is our faith really? Jesus said a little bit later, Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes on those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks." And yet I haven't seen too many mountains cast into the sea. Our faith is weak. We need to understand that. But Jesus says, "All things are possible to him who believes." For those who believe, their desires will be changed. When we desire the things that God desires, all things are possible. And the Father exclaims, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Note the faith that is exhibited here. His exclamation is at the same time a confession of faith and yet a confession of the weakness of his faith. He is willing to be taught. Too often we want the quick solution to our problems and do not want to be obedient to God. "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief," ought to be every one of our confession of faith. Because we are weak of ourselves, that we cannot stand a moment. And Jesus casts the demon out of the child. Jesus rebukes the deaf and the dumb spirit. The exclamation of the Father brought people running. And Jesus said, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit convulses him one more time. And he comes out, and the child lays there on the ground as one dead, so that many thought he was dead. And Jesus lifts the child from the ground to his feet. And he was there, ready to go. Jesus again demonstrates his intervention. This child on the ground, Jesus lifting him up. That smallest need. Jesus cares about our smallest needs. He does not leave us or forsake us. Jesus on the way to the cross is not building up wall, building up blinders. Jesus cares for the child along the way, breaking down that wall of sin. And the disciples come to Jesus afterward. And they ask, why couldn't we? They address Jesus privately in a house so that no one else could take part in their humiliation. Yet they want to know what the difference is. What does James say? James says, you have not because you ask not. You do not have because you ask amiss that you may use it on your pleasures. Brothers and sisters, we need to be on our knees in prayer on a regular basis. God is the one who gives. And he does not give with partiality. They want to know the difference, and Jesus says this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. This is a demon for which one must be prepared. Our exercises of prayer and of fasting and of worship are not useless exercises. They prepare us for a life in this cursed world. And they prepare us for heaven. They're used by God to great effect through us. They are the disciplines of the Christian life. James 5:16-18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And brothers and sisters, we need to be people of prayer. Jesus cares for this child. Children were not considered highly in this point in history. And Jesus cares for this child. This demon-possessed child along the side of the road. How does Jesus conclude this passage? As he has been for the last number of passages, Jesus reminds the disciples that he is on the way to the cross. We know that this doesn't make an impact on them until after the resurrection. However, they have been reminded. And brothers and sisters, we need God's word to have an impact on us. How do we live? What do we do in this world? We need to understand the care of our God for us and the importance that we be exercising ourselves in the disciplines of the Christian faith. Amen. Let us come before our God in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your word, which we can read day by day. We thank you for the copies of it, which we have sitting on the shelf. We thank you for the access which we have before your holy throne through prayer. We thank you for the disciplines of the Christian faith. And we pray that we might use those disciplines in service of you. We cry with this man, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We pray, O Lord, that you would use these exercises of the faith to build us up in the faith, to strengthen us for the path which you have called us to walk day by day, and to prepare us for the eternity which you have for your people. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving and in praise for the Savior who paid for our sins in full, who gives to us eternal life freely. We pray these things, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.